Kala struggled to keep up with his father, Tyron, as they crossed the desert. Dead roots and black stones reached up from the sandy ground and harried his every step. Tyron seemed to bound over the trail, avoiding each obstacle with preternatural ability. Unable to maintain his father's winged pace, Kala stopped, clung to his shovel for support.
"Father, I need a minute,"
he panted. A few steps ahead, Tyron's silhouette, a stout patch of black against the faintest hints of rose, stopped moving, too.
"How do you do it?" wheezed Kallus as he gestured at the terrain.
Tyron laughed, not unkindly. "It doesn't just happen overnight, boy. Takes time, I reckon. After all these sevens, I just know how to miss every rock. Someday, you will too. I'm sure of it."
Kallus grunted, unconvinced. He stood, and the pair continued on their way.
"I know we're not taking the pump road, but what road is this?" asked Kallus. Though it would be a few minutes before the premier sun ascended over the horizon, in its reflected light, Kallus wondered at the unfamiliar terrain and its unique geology.
"Since today's your second seven, I thought we'd do things a little differently," Tyron smiled. "It's a much longer trip, why we had to stay in tents the last few nights. But, as you'll see in just a bit, it's much more impressive, too. And besides, there have been reports that something's fouling the water. The Ruins Road, what we're on now, though it's not much of a road anymore, leads to an old path down into the empty sea. From there, we'll follow the Eelswire about a league, league and a half, until we reach the pump."
"The Ruins Road?" prodded Kallus.
"No one uses it anymore, but a long time ago, when the empty sea had another name, there was a great city along its shores, Kesharan. You can still see the remains of some of its piers."
"What happened to it?"
"I have no idea. Something bad, though, I think. Most stories only mention it in passing. I think I read something about it in one of your grandfather's books, or maybe I heard about it from Charak. But like I said, it was a long time ago. Anyway, we'll be there in a league or so."
They walked in relative silence, broken only by the rhythmic crunch of gravel beneath their feet. Soon, fragments of paving stone dotted the widening road, and Kallus tried to picture it as it must have looked in centuries past.
"Kesharan," nodded Tyron, noting Kallus's distraction.
"We'll reach its outer walls in less than a mile, the old shoreline just after that." The sun, the first sun, sliced the waning darkness with a thin strip of silver. Kallus stumbled, dropped his shovel, and clutched his head. For a moment, his world turned white and silent. Then, subtle hints of some kind of music rose up within his mind. Without warning, the music swelled to orchestral proportions, danced across his synapses. Time seemed to slow. Kallus fell, struggling to make sense of the enlivened aural energy that arced all around and within him.
"Father!" he tried to scream.
He wasn't sure if he'd actually made any sound.
"Boy?" Tyron turned and raised an eyebrow.
Kallus didn't hear him. The music stopped, its last reverberations mere echoes. He remained where he'd fallen, pressed his hands against his eyes, and let his head sway in time to the receding sound.
"Boy!" repeated Tyron.
He held out a rough hand. Slowly, Kallus let his hands fall. He blinked, looked around as though he'd forgotten where he was before he noticed his father's outstretched arm.
What was that?" he wondered, accepting Tyron's aid.
"You hurt yourself?"
"No, I don't think so. That music, though, what was that from?"
"Music?" Kallus, still holding his father's arm, felt it stiffen for the briefest instant.
"I don't know what you're talking about, boy. I didn't hear anything." "You didn't hear those, I don't know, chimes, I guess? Chimes? Out here?"
Tyron's forced laughter didn't reach his eyes.
"No, boy, I didn't hear anything. You feeling all right?"
"Yeah, I'm fine. I just..." He raised a finger to his upper lip and wiped at something wet.
"You sure?" demanded Tyron, pointing at Kallus's bloody nose.
"Yes, I'm sure, father. See, it stopped already." For a while, Kallus was sure Tyron was going to take him home. In truth, his head throbbed, though not too severely. And while Kallus really wanted to see the ancient ruins, his primary desire was not to disappoint his father. With a knowing sigh, Tyron decided, "If anything happens to you, I'll never hear the end of it from your mother." The leathery skin around his eyes crinkled as he winked at his co-conspirator.
"Come on then, boy. We've still got a way to go before we reach the pump, and with both suns in the sky, traveling will be difficult."
Kallus returned his father's smile, retrieved his shovel, and as they set out again, he mumbled, "Taifayan." Tyron slowed down, cocked his head.
"What was that?"
"Taifayan," repeated Kallus. "Nalenahu, the premier sun."
"That's what I thought you said," muttered Tyron, quickening his pace.
Changing the subject, he added, "Anyway, I almost hope we find something in the river.
If we don't, then it's probably something wrong with the pump, and it could be weeks, maybe months before someone figures it out. Soon, the spires of Kesharan rose up behind a vast wall. Kallus gasped, enchanted by the interplay of jewel-toned colors glinting from rooftops in the sun's waxing light. Through crumbled gates and broken stones, he let his gaze follow the few towers that remained standing into the sky. As though drawn, he took a step toward the largest opening. "The land gate. What's left of it, at least," nodded Tyran. He joined Kallus and continued. "The busiest gate when Kesharan was a thriving metropolis. At least that's what Charak claims. That crazy old man who's always telling those stories? I wouldn't call him crazy, but yes, the eccentric older gentleman. He knows more about Lohylar, its surroundings, and its history than anyone else, I'd wager. Strange as he is, strange as his stories are, there's something honest about him. How do you think I heard about the Ruins Road in the first place?" As they walked through the remains of Kesharan's shadowed colonnades and weathered porticos, Kallus saw its decay was much more advanced than he'd assumed, as though the city had suffered violent tragedy. Shattered fragments of crystal-paned windows and sculpture littered the streets. Several buildings had huge sections missing, others had collapsed completely. They altered course several times, avoiding canted and broken pillars and statuary, and exited the city onto an immense platform. Kallus peered over its edge, lost his balance to a wave of vertigo. The surface on which they stood was hundreds of feet above the earth, supported, for the moment, by time-worn pilings. "Watch yourself, boy," warned Tyran, grabbing his son's arm and leading him away from the platform's crumbling edge. Loose stones hurtled into the chasm. "Come, this way." The pair re-entered the city, where Tyran led Kallus through another maze of avenues marked with faded chalk blazes that deposited them just outside the wall at the foot of a small hill. "There's a trail here that leads down into the canyon. From there, it's a few miles to the pump. We've made good time, so we'll rest a minute. Drink some water. You don't want to..." Again, Kallus' mind filled with music as everything around him, time included, seemed to smear. This time, however, there were shapes within the music, or so he thought. When it passed, the second sun was above the horizon, warming the first sun's argent light with a soft, golden glow. Tyran's mouth was moving, too slowly, until time snapped back into place. "Draided," he finished. His eyebrow arched, he regarded Kallus for a moment. "It happened again, didn't it?" he accused. "Did you hear it?" asked Kallus, his enthusiasm bare. Tyran shook his head, pointed to his son's nose. "No, boy, I didn't," he sighed as Kallus wiped away another bloody streak. "If this keeps up, I'm taking you home, and I don't..." "Father, I'm fine, I promise," Kallus protested. Tyran must have noticed his eyes squint against the dull pounding between his temples. If it gets worse, I'll tell you, I promise. Please, don't make me go home." Tyran remained silent. With a huff and a hint of pride, he conceded, "I admire your determination, boy. I do. And it's your second seven. You're not a child anymore. If you say you're fine, fair enough. Still, I am your father." "I'm fine, father, really," Kallus assured him. He picked up his pack, cinched its straps, and gestured toward the hilltop, beyond which lay the rim of the empty sea.